living out your dreams. You can't fly without your wings. You get it. Jeremy Scott's all camouflage. You can't hide it from yourself, career sabotage. I was really in that travel lodge. You just lying through your catalogs. We're the blood and the battle scars. We the ones the judge juggling them gavels on. Put me to the body, nigga. Verse 48, put us to them bodies, nigga. Round here, we don't play that. A to the K that, spray that, lay back. You can keep your beats, nigga. We much rather shake your bitch, nigga. Bitch, nigga. 3 million can't hide that. It shows in the homes, I done tried that. That's why you'll never be my neighbors. Smile as you waving, but we know you niggas hate us. Fuck you playing games for. Don't be scared, get everything you came for. They got you talking that big shit. Little do you know we don't miss shit. Them niggas using you as a pawn. You see they never loaded they guns. Now you out here all by yourself. Ask Steve Jobs, wealth don't buy health. Yeah. Beef is best served like steak. Well done, get a gun in your face, bitch nigga. Beef will have you praying to God. Move your kids, have you hiding your mom. Beef is when you hide behind the mother niggas. But they ain't killers, they ain't pulling them triggers. Fuck niggas. People, how you keying our cars? Heart broke, yours don't look like ours. Them niggas ain't dying, honey.
Game's fucked up, niggas beats is banging, nigga, your hooks did it. The lyric pinning equal to Trump's winning. The bigger question is how the Russians did it. It was written like Nas, but it came from Quentin. At the mercy of a game where the codes is missing. When the CEO's blinded by the glow is different. Believe in myself and the Coles and Kendricks. Let the sock puppets play and they rose and gimmick shit. Remember Will Smith won the first Grammy? And they ain't even recognize Hov until Annie. So I don't tap dance for the crackers and sing Mammy. Cause I'm pulled to juggle these flows and nose candy, yeah. Ferrari, my 40th, blew the candles out. Tom Brady, you niggas, I had to scramble out. They be riding these waves, I pulled my sandals out. Hefe Latin, my Grammy, I went the Spanish route. Oh, now it's okay to kill, baby. Niggas looked at me crazy like I really killed a baby. Salute Ross, cause the message was pure. He see what I see when you see Wayne on tour. Flash without the fire. Another multi-platinum rapper trapped and can't retire. Niggas get exposed, I see the cracks and I'm the liar. Shit, I've been exposed, I took the crack and built the wire. Now who do you admire? Your rap songs is all trying my patience. Them prices ain't real without inflation. I done flew it, I done grew it. Been a conduit. More your knob bags with my bitches, I done blew it. See through it, neck igloo it. Hablan Espanol, I eat to it. Let Steven talk streaming, it's your Shazam numbers. I'll ensure that you getting every gram from us. Let's cram numbers. Easily, the only rapper sold more dope than me was Eazy-E. How could you ever write these wrongs when you don't even write your songs? But let us all play along. We all know what niggas for real been waiting on. Push. Drug dealing aside, goose writing aside, let's have a heart to heart about your pride. Even though you're multi, I see that your soul don't look alive. The M's count different when baby divides the pie. Wait, let's examine why your music for the past few years been angry and full of lies. I started at the home front, I'm on one. Dennis Graham, stay off the gram, bitch, I'm on one. You mention wedding ring like it's a bad thing. Your father walked away at 5, hell of a dad thing. Marriage is something that Sandy never had, Drake. How you a winner, but she keep coming in last place. Monkey suit, Dennis, you parade him. A Steve Harvey suit, nigga, made him. Confused, always felt you weren't black enough. Afraid to grow it cause your fro wouldn't nap enough. Since you name dropped my fiance, let him know who you chose as your Beyonce. Sophie knows better as your baby mother. Cleaned her up for IG, but the stench is on her. Her baby's involved, it's deeper than rap. We talking character, let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child, let that boy come home. Deadbeat motherfucker playing border patrol. Ooh, Adonis is your son, and he deserves more than an Adidas press run. That's real. Love that baby, respect that girl. Forget she's a porn star, let her be your world. Yeah. How dare you put Ye in my verses? I'm selfish, I want all of the curses. I'm pre-booking the churches, me versus three hearses. If we all go to hell, it'll be worth it. Already aligned with the greats. And on that same note, the only ones I chase are two ghosts. Still giving you classics. That's the only thing that dates me. OVO 40, hunched over like he 80. Tick, tick, tick. How much time he got, that man is? Sick, sick, sick. I got the devil flow, nigga. Sick, sick, sick. Surgical summer with it. Snip, snip, snip. And you don't really want it with him. Surgical Summer Volume 1.
Welcome back to another Can You Entertainment podcast. It's your host, Nate, and I'm back with my wife here. It's the Adventures of Nay and Nate kind of episode, but this is episode 132, I think, at this point. We were just chilling here, hanging out in Pittsburgh, looking over all the, trying to catch up. We've been on vacation, so we've been out of the loop. Now we're just catching up on all this silly shit on social media.
We're still on vacation, actually.
Yeah, we're on vacation right now, but we're just going to roll in this podcast. It's all very loosey-goosey, so we're just going to be talking away here. So what's going on?
Hi, everybody. Long time. It's been a long time since I've been with you guys. Well, we're trolling the internet and social media, to be exact, and I would say Instagram.
Twitter.
Yeah, it's Instagram, Twitter is our pretty much go-to for all things entertainment, hip-hop, and
some sports.
Sports and all that or whatever. That's
politics.
Nathan's thing. Yeah, I'll do the politics with them or whatever, but because I'm a publicist as well as an event planner.
Get your social media out at the start.
Is that important? Well, my business social media is Sharabella Events. And then you guys could look me up on my personal, which is, what is it? It's Renee_Mrs. Bella_EventPR. And Renee is spelled R-E-N-E-A underscore.
Awesome.
Mrs. Bella_EventPR.
I'll have it in the notes.
Okay. Yeah. So anyways, let's just get right into it. So, you know, I kind of been like not really active just for the past few days while we're out here on the East Coast. But what I like to do for my morning news, just to get a laugh or two in or whatever, I like to troll on Instagram and Twitter. I like to call it Black Twitter. I am Black. If you guys didn't know, his wife was Black. And I just like to get my laughs and giggles in and just kind of be, I have to stay up to date because if you don't know me, Nathan also have our own.
Yeah, this is Can You Entertainment.
Yeah, right. It's Can You Entertainment. We have our own label, you know, artists we develop and all this stuff. So
go to ilovecanyou.com.
That part. So we like to stay relevant in the news of, you know, what's going on in hip hop, music in general, all genres or whatever. So came across this, new beef, supposedly, with, what's dude's name? What's the rapper's name?
Are we talking about the one I was talking about?
We're talking about, like, Drake.
Oh, Drake and Pusha T.
And Pusha T. So, me and Nathan just listened to, like, their supposedly diss record against each other. So I'm not sure who started it first. It sounded like it was Pusha T had put it out first. And then Drake responded or whatever. And so we both listen. We sat here together and we listened to it. And to come up with our own rating and analysis of it. And we both figured, it's whack. Like, what are you doing? But now we know what they're doing. So while I'm trolling on Instagram.
Why don't you like Drake?
I don't like anything about Drake.
Mom.
I don't like his voice. I don't like what he talks about.
I come across Drake's Instagram because I do follow Drake as Champagne Poppy. Guys, you know, are following Drake on Instagram, and he got receipts. So listen, so this is what I'm saying about receipts. So he's coming back at Pusha T kind of hard, you know what I'm saying, on his return diss track or whatever, but not hard to the extent of, who would you say would be the hardest diss track? Would it have been Nas and...
Nas and Jay-Z was the last
Nas and Jay-Z.
Fire-ass track, but really, you know, they really went there in that MC tradition, you know. This shit...
it was just whack.
First off, Drake... I don't know where to start, but I'm going to go with Drake. You can't start a diss track sounding like bored, you don't want to do it, and then you just do it.
Right, okay, well, I'm glad you said that.
And then complain.
Well, here's the thing. No. Because he was bored.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that, right? Like, you're bored and you really don't want to do that, right? Well, here's the receipts of why he did that, guys. So, I'm looking, he posted, and let me tell you when let me go back. He posted 15 hours ago.
Why don't you like Drake?
I don't like anything about Drake.
Mom!
I don't like his voice. I don't like what he talks about.
I don't like his face.
A invoice from OVO Sound.
I saw something about it. I didn't see it, but yeah.
Right. So OVO Sound is Drake's label, right? And the invoice is to Good Music / Def Jam. And it gives the invoice number, you know, address never. And it's attention to steven.victor@umusic.com. And for professional services rendered regarding promotional assistance and career reviving. The fee that Drake charged to do this.
It's a bullshit invoice. He ain't going to get paid for it.
Well, we don't know. But this is the invoice. The fee was $100,000 or whatever. And this is, thank you for your business. Please remit checks to OVO Sound, right?
Yeah.
So, but we don't know that it's not happening. We don't know if this is behind the scenes industry stuff.
No, I just saw it was all on Twitter. It's marketing for this bullshit beef.
Right.
What's going to really, you think the lawyers at Def Jam or anybody there is really going to pay them?
Right.
For what?
Right. So, yeah.
Go ahead. Take them to court.
Well, he could have just been making a statement. Like, you know what I'm
saying? It's marketing.
Right, and it could be, I would have to say it's marketing or whatever. But I'm just like, but this is what he's throwing out there.
Yeah.
And it's just a diss on top of a
diss. Career reviving when Pusher T has been headlining just as good. Is he as many sales as Drake? No, he didn't claim that either.
Yeah, so anyway.
That's all Drake can do.
So listen, I'm going to read some of the comments. Like, this is just...
Don't mind me. We'll go back and forth.
Yeah, this is just entertainment for us or whatever at the end of the day. And let me find some good comments. Somebody said, T-minus music, he's verified on Instagram. He goes, every time I see this, it gets funnier. People are laughing. Some people are just like, oh, he just threw out receipts. You know, some people are putting the shocked emoji and then like hysterical, a laughing emoji. And then somebody, haha, David says, oh, that's a check. Check, this is beyond me. It's like, okay. You know, then some people got some things to say. Nick Cannon was just like so disrespectful. You know, you're really good at rapping in the internet, but I feel like you're bad at doing sex. That's a Cardi Nelly.
Who?
If you didn't, that was the fat Jewish, somebody who's verified on Twitter. You know who the fat Jewish is?
Yeah, he's like, I want to say he's been like a big, he kind of became an Instagram comedian, I think. He got famous with a lot of memes, but kind of people got mad because he felt like they were kind of taking other people's stuff. But he's created a career on Instagram, basically.
Right.
I think that's the guy. I'm pretty sure.
Right. So apparently
he's somebody somewhat important.
Right. So overall, apparently this is another him putting this invoice out here, whether it's fake or real, or whatever. Just to say it's his way of saying like you're coming at me because you're irrelevant or whatever. So now I'm gonna come back at you, but I'm gonna help you revive your career because you know what I'm saying. You obviously need the help if you're coming at me with a diss track. Or whatever. I mean, because, like, Drake has been kind of quiet for a minute. So, why are you...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the underlying... what I get out of Pusha T is he's just... To me, I think that he's... You know, he's coming... His following and his crowd, like, they have nothing to do. Like, everybody's fans cross over to the others. Everybody listens to whoever. So, I don't think that's so hardline like it might have been at some point.
Right.
But I think he's kind of coming from the angle of, you know... he's just calling him out. He just sees him as a puppet and that he's just you're just a pop rapper. And so Pusha can do that because he doesn't care about being mainstream. He hasn't cared, never cared about it. Little can Drake remember, it doesn't matter now, but hello, he was the Clips. He did have big hits with Pharrell since back in the day. But since then, he's done his thing the way he's wanted to do it. You know, raw, uncut, and got that fan base regardless, and he doesn't care about... He could have already made some, probably, that kind of record. That's just not his style. So he's coming from that perspective, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why he'd want to... I guess if you're going to target that person at the time then when you're doing this, well, Drake would be that guy, I guess. So I don't know if there's anything personal, but that's my only thought pattern why he would go after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like that. I mean, that's happened before with guys like whoever's the big, you know, whoever at the time, and you know, guys would say little shit, and sometimes they didn't really mean this, but everybody else thought they were talking about that. You know,
right?
So, but this is clear. I don't know.
But the only thing to me about these diss tracks and all this or whatever, I mean, they could be done in all in fun and whatever, or they could be really serious. But then at some point. Now, compare from then to now, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, when we had the Biggie and Tupac,
right?
You know, before, but that was a for real, real beef,
right?
Like, you understand what I'm saying? Tupac, you know, he became paranoid or whatever. Right. I love Tupac or whatever.
But after that quad studio incident,
yeah,
and I can understand how that happened. That.
Yeah,
I can understand
you don't
how
know
happened.
Who he can trust or whatever.
That's a real that's a whole different. Yeah,
right.
If Pusha T went to if it was that scenario, Pusha T went to so and so studio, got shot up, and then sees Drake and them come out. Yeah. This is before this, and then he got paranoid, thinking that now we got something.
Right.
But this isn't that.
This isn't that.
Not saying it has to be that extreme, but
we can say YG. When he got shot,
right.
You know what I'm saying? He wasn't trusting nobody, and
he
was going off on his camp and people, and he don't know who did what. And to this day,
doesn't really
he
know.
Still don't know who shot him or whatever. And so that's been like a issue for him. You know, I know insight to him, but that's family. Just FYI,
right?
So that's so that's a whole nother thing. But what happens is when you start these beefs, especially now versus what I was going to say now versus when we didn't have social media then,
right.
Or whatever, it just becomes more of a real thing and, people get hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And a lot of it's usually because of the people around.
Right.
Those people.
And, you
not
know,
so much.
And then, you know, you got people on social media and, you know, nobody wants to look pussy on social media and everybody's beating on their own, little monkey chest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to prove a point. And it's like, for what? You know, you guys.
I see it as a desperate, I feel like it's somewhat of, this is the only way, I mean, this is the way to keep relevant, keep your name going.
Yeah.
Keep it, and don't tell me, this isn't some record company bullshit.
Right. But that, to me, I think that's stupid too, because there's so many different ways that you can keep your name relevant.
Yeah.
We have so many social issues in this world that, you know,
you could be talking on so many things. You could be
talking about being an advocate for, or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a social issue that you could be an advocate for, or you just starting up a new venture within your brand, i.e. Rihanna. You understand what I'm saying? Right. I'm sorry, when she performed at the
I think
MTV Music Awards or whatever that was, and I watched her perform, and she didn't look like she really wanted to be up there performing anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, she's into, you know, moving on to the next phase of her life, and now she has Fenty Beauty.
She's probably kind of bored. She's got a lot of hits. She's been a machine.
Yeah.
So,
she's still a force to be reckoned with. You know what I'm saying? But she's not out here making diss tracks.
Yeah, I think the women in music have done I think they've been doing a better job. I think they've done more. They've been more, bit more creative than the guys, honestly.
Yeah, a bit more creative. I mean, the only real beefs that's been going on on the female side was, you know, Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma.
Yeah,
and then it became this thing with Nicki and Cardi B, which was kind of sipping in. And I'm like, well, was that really a real beef? Like, you understand what I'm
telling
saying?
You, I'm telling you, though, it's certain. I guarantee at some point, especially with those two more so than the Remy one, feels that's more real.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Nicki and Cardi, it's people around them, and there's executives, they drum it, or, you know, or just even the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just this drummed up bullshit beef that's actually not really, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Actually there.
It's like
there's room for everybody. That's the whole point.
It is room for
everybody. Why is rap, like rap, like if it's a, if like to me, like back in the, like if you, that was like a test, a battle test you were doing, you know, it started from that angle. At this point, everybody's got marketing, you got big platforms, you got plenty of, you know, there's, society's accepted, it's, you could get deals, like you couldn't get all these things back in the day.
Right.
You had to, like, you literally, it was all on your delivery and make and you know, proving yourself. You were just an MC and that was it.
Yeah.
And you had nothing else to lose or gain, so you went for broke and whatever. Nobody knew what was going to come of that. Now it's all very strategic, you know. So that's where it comes off like.
I like when you say strategic.
It is
because I wanted to get into this. When the shit first
Tupac
went
kind
down.
Of, but I want to add though, Tupac kind of was the first to realize it did come from a real thing, but as he got with Death Row, he knew what the fuck he was doing
At that point, yeah.
And even it was said, I'm surprised it gets brought up much. Even it was said he saw Biggie at one of those last award shows before Tupac got, you know, killed. He saw him supposedly in passing. It was just like, you know, and Biggie was like, what's all this about, you know, trying to like, what the hell, man, you know, and Tupac, it's all love, man, just making money, you know.
Right.
So he kind of told on himself right there.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so let me go back. So you guys remember Cardi B album's drop, right? And it was like kind of highly anticipated. She had already did 6 mixtapes or whatever, and she was grinding hard. Right, doing her thing and all this, whatever. Finally, you know, her album was actually pushed back. It wasn't quite ready, so her original release date didn't happen, so it was pushed back. 2 days later, here comes fucking Nicki Minaj, whatever, and now she's on the scene with Chun Li.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that just a coinky dink to you guys? And then when she did that interview with,
let's not forget, it was 2 tracks, Barbie Ting's.
Barbie Ting's winner, but
Chun-Li's the one that got more.
Chun-Li was really the one that was being aired, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it got more heat.
It got more people heat, right, more. Because of,
people
know,
like it more, it's a better,
you know,
it's a better
overall. They need rappers like me.
Doing her Tony Montana.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, so. She comes out or whatever, but then when she did this interview with, I can't even think of dude's name right now, popular radio host or whatever, she did the interview, and then she's crying in this interview because, like, what she's saying is that, you know, she felt some type of way because, you know, she was on hiatus. Like, nobody had heard from her since the holidays. She's, like, dead ass quiet, right? You know, Cardi B, Bodak Yellow blew up. You know what I'm saying? 2017 was the year of Cardi. And rightfully so. She did her thing. I don't care what you guys say. If she had writers and she don't write her own music and this is that. Let's be clear. A lot of artists and rappers don't write their own music. And have hasn't ghost for writers. Years. And hasn't for years. That's why they're called ghostwriters. So let's be clear on that. And don't let Nicki fool you and make you think that she write every single thing that she's ever dropped.
Yeah, because that was a previous
thing
too. Safari was, supposedly,
right? Yeah.
Not supposedly, I think legit. Right?
Yeah, but then he came back.
This is the
I gotta finish it. Let me do my segment because he came back and was just like, "Nah, I didn't write for Nicki, whatever, whatever." But he had some influence.
Okay, fair enough.
Back on this. So she did. So Nicki does this interview with You know, I'll have Nathan drop it in the. And a tidbit after, you know, we post this or whatever. But and she's going on to say that she felt like she was hurt because she felt like Cardi didn't embrace her, you know, or was basically saying that she wasn't grateful that, you know, and didn't really acknowledge the fact that, like, hey, I let you be on the song for Motorsport with Migos. So let's be clear. Motorsport was not fucking Nicki's song. She was a feature. That was Migos.
They paid for her to be on there.
Yeah, they
paid
for her. Right, exactly. Let's say any feature you're going to get paid, right?
But they could say whatever because people don't know.
It wasn't her track.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You pay for usually...
They asked, hey, is it cool? We, you know, add Cardi.
Right.
Now, Quavo and them, they did do that. You know, they wanted, because Cardi is popping, you know. So
and also them being in a relationship.
Well, yeah, so you know, or whatever, but.
Like the camp.
Well, Offset is a very, he is a real force for Cardi. Because he's actually helping with her development. And she's really kind of said that because Cardi will tell you, like, you know, she said, man, I will go to my go-tos, who's going to keep it 100 with me.
Right.
And she's never proclaimed to be, like, the best rapper or anything like that. She knew she needed help and support.
Right.
She knew that, you know, she knew that she needed to get better with her flows and all that. Like, Cardi has said that herself.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But let me just get back on Nicki real quick. So when she's doing this interview and she's saying all that, and she was, and when she made that comment about, well, most people would kill to be, you know what I'm saying, on a track with me or whatever, well, that told me right there, bitch, and you're crying in this interview, fake tears, real tears, whatever you want to call it, but your ego was bruised because Cardi isn't bowing down to you or whatever, and that, and to be honest, and you always considered yourself the queen. And you,
yeah, but see, that says a whole lot also that, again, we just said it. It wasn't her track. She didn't, like, it'd be different.
Right.
It'd be a little different, or quite different. Not a little. Different if it was, there's no Migos. It's Nicki's camp from her side and everything, and she asked to have Cardi on, and it's her and Cardi straight up, and that's it.
Yeah, right.
And then there was some kind of thing like, I don't want to be on it. If she, you know, the way she's describing her, so to speak, and then Cardi was like, I'm not going to be on it or whatever, then, okay, I could see that angle then, maybe.
Yeah, but that wasn't the issue.
At all.
And I think Cardi, wanted to do it. She wouldn't have done it
obviously,
if she didn't want to do
so
it.
So you're not, yeah.
You,
so
you
what
know,
are you talking about?
There was no real beef. You know what I'm saying? I think at one point, like, you know, Cardi had posted on YouTube some time ago, and I don't know how many people has viewed this YouTube. Where she was just talking about how the industry is so fucking fake, like how the people that she looked up to, you know, growing up or whatever, you know, when, you know, aspiring, you know, was inspired by, and you get in the industry and you blow up, and now these same motherfuckers that you looked up to, they're not accepting you. So let me tell you something or whatever. Just how Nicki has been in the industry, vocally, and just her whole persona or whatever. And I'm not dissing Nicki in any way or whatever.
We're just talking about
it. I think the difference between Nicki and Cardi is that Cardi is a way more relatable person.
Mm-hmm.
That people can feel as that, because she does kind of have the Cinderella story, if you will.
It's just that way it is now.
It's right. I mean, you know, she was a stripper. She don't deny anything that she's done. Cardi is very true to herself. She's very, I don't give a fuck. She's not trying to put on no show for the gram.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? She'll be on the gram, you know, like she'll say, look, you're ratchet as fuck, no makeup, you know what I'm saying? No concealer.
She's made it work because that's how she's come from the get go. So
she's been her authentic self
this whole
from
time.
The gate the whole time.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Nicki wasn't on the gram or anything.
It's a different
because
time.
It was a different time
that
and the gram wasn't
yet.
Popping right. like that. So we don't.
It didn't even exist back then.
It didn't exist when Nicki came out. So she came out kind of like in a different era and grew into this other thing, right? So, and like I said, it's no diss to Nicki at all.
Right.
But we're just comparing the differences in their lives or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, both from New York or whatever. Cardi has this really hood, you know, I don't want to just say mentality, but you know, she's Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? She's Bronx, boogie down, whatever.
But you know what else though that I read about see the differences too? She's totally embraced what she's from.
Yeah.
Nicki didn't want to be, pigeoned to the New York rapper. That's why she didn't really go with like being a Queens in that accent. And I think it was also not just that. I think it was because of the period too. Because see, the South took over for that time.
Yeah.
So you really almost, it wasn't helpful almost at that point to really be a New York rapper. Nobody gave a shit at
that
point.
Right. Let's go back.
Anyways.
But with that whole thing, I'm saying all this to say, it's just like, you know, with all that, we could tell from that interview that Nicki did, her ego, a lot of people would agree that her ego was bruised.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to be receptive to you either if you're coming from that angle.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, because, and I'm a Libra, and maybe I'm a little biased here because I know how we think.
Right.
You're a Libra.
Right.
Or whatever. We sense sincerity.
Didn't like this dude for all the wrong reasons. Understand? When it comes to lyrics, I'll tell them, yeah, money's tough verses. But, you know, there was other reasons, you know, we were getting all that. But for him to take the effort, first, to want to use a song of mine, you know what I'm saying? And then to be man enough to reach out and make that call, I was like, hats off, man. I mean, that was a real move.
Right.
That was a real like at the end of the day, real is real, right is right, wrong is wrong. Yo, that was a real move. You know what I'm saying? It took a man, you mean, to make a move like that. You mean? I salute him for that.
What y'all discuss?
On the phone with him, he was like, yo, what's up? One of the first things he said, he's like, yo, man, me and JJ, yo, 40. Yeah, yeah. He's like, yo, man, you raised us, man. I'm like, wow. Like, you are feeling this way. Not knowing that, love you, son. Like, stupid. You mean?
So that kind of told me, is it's like, you're letting this girl, now you've been the queen, we're not going to take nothing from Nicki, because let me tell you, like, she held female rap the fuck down for years. Like, let's mm-hmm. be honest. Like, we could never take that from Nicki.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I don't care how many writers I don't care how many rappers Cardi had. I mean, writers Cardi had or whatever. She did that with Bodak Yellow, and she did it with no features.
Mm-hmm.
She did it. She held it down, number one on the Billboard Top 100. Like, let's just be clear. She did that by herself. And that's, you know, and she had a true team behind her that pushed. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can't take that from her either. So my point is, you know, when Nicki did that, it just showed that you were somewhat intimidated.
Of course.
You had to have been intimidated.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is the problem on Nicki's side with her whole ego. is she's only the only queen. There is no other. And it's, right. It has to be that
Queen
way.
Queen Latifah addressed that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Queen Latifah addressed that. And she was just like, well, what about all us other queens? Because remember when they did Ladies Night back in the day with her, Little Kim, Angie Martinez. Shout out to Angie Martinez because, Cone Girl, you was the shit back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Yep. She didn't have a really long-lasting career.
No, she was a DJ. I think Redman was involved partially and helped her like get into rap and KRS as well.
Right.
And they saw something, whatever she did, enough that they said, encouraged her and said, go ahead, Angie, do some, you know, come on this track. And KRS did bring, actually KRS, shout out to KRS, of course, on the You Got Next album, 1997, look it up, listen, with Redman, had her, that was one of her, actually her first time she ever was on a rap song.
Right. Right. And who
before
else,
that, right
Brat,
before that.
Wasn't the Brat on that
The
one?
Brat was on Ladies Night,
On Ladies Night,
so Ladies Night was right after this thing I'm talking about. About the same era, right?
They
same time.
Did that or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? And it wasn't
there was
of
none
this
of this bullshit.
Little Kim.
The Brat.
Angie Martinez. I feel like I'm missing
Missy
some.
Elliott.
Missy fucking Elliott. Shout out to Missy.
Yeah.
Woo!
Boy, people forget.
Oh, Missy was.
And you got to remember, we're saying all these names. This isn't like they were post careers. They were in the midst of the heights of their careers. Every last one of them.
And they were.
And nobody was mad about sharing the spotlight.
They were empowering each other.
And again, just a little after that, Lady Marmalade, Christina Aguilera.
Oh yeah, and Little Kim. Yep.
Why Nikki never could be that way. She doesn't.
Right.
She's exclusive, not inclusive.
Exactly. Or so, whatever. And so.
And that's been her. And that's her brand. And
now,
that's her prerogative. Whatever.
Defense, like she has done interviews and she has shouted out.
But she has worked with the dude. I think she's worked better with the dude.
I think she's worked better with the dude. Outside of her and Beyonce, they were an amazing duo together. Whatever.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah. That's true. They did a good job.
Pretty on. That's why, you know, and don't get me wrong, I you know, it may sound like, you know, we're speaking one against the other. It's really not that.
No.
And we don't want that.
We're just
that's
pointing
the whole
out
thing. We're just pointing out
what the reality and facts have been.
Right. And the observations.
Career. Observation.
Or whatever. And this is just our opinion, guys. Yeah. So don't be, you know, in the podcast comments, going ham, especially all you need.
Oh, no, please do. Please do.
Do come for me, because, honey, my clapback is. Yeah. Woo! Okay. Okay. So, what we're saying, like in general, is just like, you know, I, and don't get me wrong, you guys, I am a Nicki fan. Like I am a Nicki fan. I love Nicki or whatever, but you know, I think she just got a little dose of her own medicine.
Yeah.
Because if you guys can recall the beef that we ain't gonna her and Remy Ma thing, that was whatever, but that was a good little beef. Because Remy Ma, I'm sorry,
cut her deep.
She cut her ass deep at one point or whatever, and then Nicki did do a little good little comeback with Drake and everything. So that was a cool little thing. I mean, not cool, but you know, just you know, for the purposes of entertainment or whatever, right? But when Nicki first got on the scene is what I was going to get to, and her whole style, her whole everything or whatever, and when Little Kim kind of reached out or whatever, she was not embracing or really paying homage to Little Kim.
So it makes this situation made her look hella hypocritical.
Hypocritical. But, you hit the nail right on the head.
But... it is easy for it to pass over because years have passed. Most of the people that follow weren't even aware of the Little Kim whole thing. Wouldn't even know kids, go do your homework, rewind.
Right, before you guys get to, really do your homework on Little Kim.
Because
you can't, and
Foxy Brown for that matter.
Oh, yes, we ain't really gonna forget about Miss Foxy, honey, because
so those two themselves, if you can't look at them and really look at it and be honest and say that wasn't an influence to Nicki, you're crazy.
You're crazy. Yeah.
You're just in
straight denial. Right. You're in denial. Like 100. Hands down. So, yeah. So, it was basically what we witnessed. The whole thing with Nicki and Cardi B was a repeat of history.
Yeah.
When Nicki first came on the scene. And the whole thing with Little Kim, because if you want to still, because I, I, nobody could say Cardi stole Nicki's style, because I think they're completely different.
Yeah.
Cardi B, even though, you know, she's rough and raw and she has her own unique sound, and I like her depth in her her depth in her music, and I like that she's very versatile.
She got an incorporation of the Bronx Latina flavor, and
yeah, like what she's got, I like flavor. It like that.
Yeah, she's got that track is they did a great job.
They did an amazing job on that.
Great job.
I mean, we could just go on besides Bodak Yellow and all this whatever.
Yeah, she's got a nice range going on right now, and that's great. I mean, Nicki's got her catalog, of course, to this point, but she didn't just straight jack anything.
No, she didn't. You know, be careful. I'm going to be honest. I love me some Cardi. But I was not a fan of Be Careful when it dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It grew on
me. It's one of those, I think.
She kind of knew that. She kind of knew that, and it was a tweet that she had put out or whatever. She was like, I know it's different. Everybody's not going to like it, whatever. But as you really listen to the song and what she's saying or whatever, it grew on me. Then it grew on me really heavy or whatever. She came out with Drip with Migos and all that. That shit went hard. I like it, you know, that whole Latin vibe.
I hope they get to do the right video for that if they get to.
And then she switched it up with Ring featuring Kehlani.
Great song, too.
Great song. I'm sorry. When Barty or Cardi come on, featuring 21 Savage,
dope.
I go ham in the car. It's like, whoo, yes, Cardi, give me life. You know what I'm saying? And then Through Your Phone. Oh, my God. Through Your Phone is so deep to me or whatever. When she was just like, there was some real shit. She was like talking about putting bleach in this motherfucker's cereal. Nigga, bon appetit. Like that. I was like, girl, I felt that. Because if you ever been cheated on, you know what I'm saying? And you be like, really? Really? You know what I'm saying? I do feature a SZA. And I love SZA. SZA can never do no wrong to me.
Yeah,
and
she's great.
Always an amazing feature on anybody's anything, let alone her own stuff. You guys go check out SZA, and that's SZA if you don't know who that is, but if you should know, you should know who she is.
Huge track, the big track right now with Kendrick
Lamar, the Stars, they're on that's the same, huge track. Yeah, all the huge stars track. From
along with Childish Gambino, of course, last
of course,
year.
Yeah, but SZA and Kendrick are on the same label, Top Dog Entertainment. Yeah. If you guys don't know that, they're label mates. So
great video too.
Great, yeah, just good stuff or whatever. So, so that's pretty much what I have to say about.
Yeah, it's actually kind of perfect because this thing came up because we were previously going to record it right when things were hitting with the Nicki and all that thing.
Oh, because I was heated.
We didn't get to do it right then.
Because let me just really say why I was heated, because I felt like Nicki wasn't fair. I felt like she milked that and she stretched that. You understand what I'm
saying? Strategy.
Yeah, strategy. And I was just like, well, isn't it a little coinky dink or whatever that you're dropping this? Mm-hmm. And she waited. And then so I had the argument with Pete. And he was just like, no, because she was already planning to drop this. So I was like, no. These artists know, even with, you know.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows what the other one's
what
doing.
What the other
usually.
One. Yeah. They,
small
in
industry.
In the industry, because we're in the industry, a lot of times we know, you know, the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. Meaning that you know what other label mates are doing on another label, whatever. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, Cardi actually went on IG and announced that she had to push her album back. Because she was still recording up until maybe a couple of weeks before it actually dropped.
Yeah.
Or whatever she was, and she finished her recording in Miami. See, I follow you guys. Y'all think that Nicki wasn't following the same shit that I was following?
Right.
She been trolling the gram very quietly.
Yeah.
She just ain't.
And they don't even have to.
Out.
And even if it's not her, they have people.
They
so
have
it's so
people.
Simple.
You know, it's a small. It's a big industry.
Even back
it's
in the
a
day,
small
look,
industry.
Even back before this shit, Mariah and Whitney trolled each other.
Of
Are you
course.
Fucking kidding me?
Of course.
There's somebody has tapes out there, and I know this specifically. They got each of them talking shit about the other.
Exactly.
Because the little known thing in the industry, and I'm sure there is right now today, engineers that are slick and know this, they let that shit keep recording.
Of course they do.
And get the little in-betweens.
Yeah.
They won't be released because it would be hella problematic.
Right.
But there's people that got these tapes out there. And it's all kinds of motherfuckers, not just the ladies. There's dudes and all kinds of shit.
So and we're telling you guys this because just know, while you're getting hyped up over these beefs and things like that, and this industry, this and that,
right,
or whatever.
Taking sides.
Do know that these are all, a lot of times, a marketing scheme, and it's the method behind the madness of the artist,
right,
or the label behind the artist. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's about sales.
Yeah.
You know, it's about sales and publicity or whatever. And in the industry, all publicity count, good and bad or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate on the bad part, but publicity is publicity. And they use it to spin it, and they can spin it any which way they want to in favor of the artist, as long as they're being talked about and they're being relevant in the media. They now it's all about trends and likes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're trending on Twitter,
then you're going to get, you're getting streams, you're getting streams and sales,
all of that, or whatever, downloads. Getting sales. Exactly. And that all counts towards,
And that's where we, just to go back, that's, getting started with this Drake and Pusha T thing. So, right there, he just, it's the same thing.
And if you guys don't really know, so me and Nathan don't just, we're not just in this, and we don't have Can You for anything. Nathan comes from the industry. I come from the industry too. I used to work for Sony Music.
Yeah, but you even worked with 92.3 Beat.
Oh,
back in the day. You got plenty of history in different ways.
If you're in LA, right? If you're in LA and you're listening to this and you're a fan of 92.3, well, when 92.3 came out, it was 92.3 The Beat. And one of the hottest DJs on air at the time was Theo. And Slow Jam and Kevin James. Well, I was Kevin James' intern, his Midnight Night intern, or whatever. So I would, you would have artists come in and do the radio interviews and all that. I was the girl who set up the tracks and, and the playlist for the, for the night, and the DJ, it was different back then or whatever. I don't know how they do it. I think it's all digital.
Yeah, everything's there's some of that, but it's more of a playlist these days.
It's a playlist.
It depends.
Yeah, it was a playlist then.
Yeah, it's a playlist
but
then.
But we had to kind of do it manually and set it up for, whatever. So, and then when I worked at Sony, I worked in damn near every department. Royalties, legal, what I'm saying? I would see some of them artists come in there bitching about their royalty checks. When shit wasn't right. If you guys remember, maybe the older cats that are listening, when shit went down with Michael Jackson, and he did this, it was on TV, it was on the news, he was at war with Sony over his publishing, his masters, everything, or whatever, and apparently he owed, a lot of money and everything, and they held on to his catalogs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But little did they forget, he set up a whole separate publishing company and was making money off of all the new artists from Sony.
Exactly.
Dude was
I think Paul McCartney owned some of his catalogs or whatever.
Michael owned the Beatles part. He owned some of the Beatles catalog. Michael did, because of Paul McCartney give him that tip back in the day. When they did that song together.
Yeah, something like that.
Right around the time they did that song together.
Yeah.
Paul tipped Michael on the fact that you can purchase people's catalogs, because these are people,
anybody can do it. Like, you guys are listening. If you got
investors, or you got money yourself,
right? Like, we could go buy some of Nicki Minaj's catalogs.
Yeah, she don't own all our publishing.
Don't let them fool you. And they talk about these 360 deals and this, that, and the other.
Doesn't mean they're not making money. It's just that's a different part of the business.
Right. And
for instance, I didn't know, and I learned Vanilla Ice, that Ice Ice Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a sample from David Bowie's Under Pressure. David Bowie / Queen, Under Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he did that song, he didn't do anything. Like, he got jumped on because of it got so popular. But he didn't do anything that anybody else wasn't doing at the time. It wasn't even illegal yet. Mm-hmm. It was just in the midst of it was because of that it became that way. Right. Because it was so successful. There was so much money. All these other cats' songs, they may have done well, right. but it didn't do that well. So the lawyers weren't, they were like, there's nothing really there for you to go after.
Right.
Well, guess what? He not only owns, I don't know how much of the Ice Ice Baby publishing, he owns, he got a good chunk, it doesn't even matter. That whole album, to this day, that album has sold 160 million worldwide.
Wow.
3 million last year alone.
Wow.
And he owns a portion of the original samples publishing of David Bowie, motherfucker. And he's got his own. And he's got his. And he's got it. If you haven't seen, he's doing all this house stuff. He's got his own. He's got this house flipping TV show he does or whatever he's been, you know, for several years.
Yeah.
That's not just for TV and just some cool. Like, he for real is doing that. And he's got he's got a full on real business with that shit.
Yeah.
Because he's passionate about it. Right. And now it's. And he said he still owns half the homes he's done because it kind of becomes personal and you kind of like them.
Yeah,
too much.
You like the homes. Who else? Jeff Lewis is like.
But
that.
Look up, there was a really good interview. I'll try to. I mean, I put it on my Twitter. I put a clip of it on my Instagram a little while ago. But he did an interview, really insightful interview, just earlier this year of Vanilla Ice. But look, if you look up some recent interviews, you'll probably find it very interesting. He has a lot to talk about, not just himself, but actually, shit. He was actually because of the you know, they talked about the Suge thing with Ice Ice Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So Suge got a portion of that money. That initial money really was what financed Death Row Records and really it contributed to that's why we have the Chronic and everything else. So right. It's fast. So there's some interesting shit, guys. So
yeah.
It's you know.
We can go on and on and on. This is actually one of our favorite topics in the house or whatever. I mean, we talk about so many things, but this seems to be like one of the ones that really gets us hyped.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just going on and.
Yeah, just covering what's going on. But yeah, so I just wanted to get a little, you know, podcast going. I told you guys I would while we're out here. So I figured fire it up while we're fresh and going. So.
Right.
Anyways, we'll go ahead and stop for now and be back. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. It's Nate, a.k.a. Crash. I'm not going to go too long right now. I'm just still on my vacation out of town in Pittsburgh. Sorry for the road noise. I'm in a Prius. It's probably a little noisier than usual. But anyways, beautiful day. Really freaking hot and humid. Yeah, it's almost 90 degrees. Damn near really is with the humidity, but... still nice, nice time. So, anyways, just want to give a quick addition. So the previous part of this podcast is me and my wife. We were talking, you know, hip hop in general right now, different so-called beefs and all that. So I hope you're enjoying. So that'll be kind of the stuff we'll be doing coming up. But otherwise, back to, like, you know, sports and stuff. Both NBA series are tied up, and obviously you're going to go the full distance. One tonight with Cleveland and Boston would be about to start here in another couple hours or so. Out here on the East Coast, kind of been interesting to watch. Well, I haven't really watched them, but, you know, when I have caught it a little bit, it's always fun to see out here from the same time zone. But I did watch the replay of Houston from last night. I watched that today just to see how that went. There were bad calls. I know that was like kind of people getting, I mean, there's always been bad calls, but no, Houston really messed up. You know, I'm not gonna put it all on the refs. There's no way you can, especially with that kind of score. So, but kudos to the Warriors, man. That's what you're supposed to do. But I don't know. We'll see. Both of these series have been really like, they're just split. Everybody's just winning at home. So we'll see if it goes that way at the end. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. Obviously, it'll be all said and done by the time you guys hear this. Oh, man. But, yeah, been a good time. Had a good time at cousin's wedding. And, you know, just a quick trip. It's kind of hard to do everything you'd like to, but it's been nice just trying to relax more, so I don't really want to worry about, you know, seeing everybody and doing all that. It's otherwise you'll just get frustrated trying to do that. But anyways, I'm going to stop it real quick, but I just wanted to add this little bit in. Besides, this is episode 133, which you will see. I did say the wrong one at the top of the, you know, of the episode. But all right, be on soon.
I don't like anything about Drake.
Mom!
I don't like his voice. I don't like what he talks about.
Jeez, I be trying to tell his face.
I don't like the way he walks. Like, nothing. I don't like his hair. I might just... Let me shut up.